Dear congregation, we want to preach the gospel to you tonight about the portion of the word which we read together, and we emphasize the first part of verse 27 of Deuteronomy 33. The first part of verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We write above the sermon, eternal blessings. Eternal blessings. And then three views. First, and how can I speak about it truly? For I need perfection. I need eternity. And yet, we try to say something of what is unspeakable, beautiful, the eternal God. Eternal blessings. First, the eternal God. You must have Him. And then you have everything. And when you miss Him, you have nothing. Then a lost eternity. Do you agree? And then in the second place, an eternal refuge. And the word in the Hebrew has more meanings. Refuge is all right. But there is always another side in this word in the Hebrew, and that means home. An eternal refuge where you are at home and stay at home. That's the meaning. So an eternal home, an eternal refuge where you can stay forever. You can stay in your home. I don't go to my home when I come from the church. I have nice people who host me. Tomorrow I hope to go to home. But also that home we must leave. We need an eternal home, an eternal refuge. That's the second thought. And the third thought is eternal, everlasting, eternal arms. Moses wishes hear his people, and underneath are the everlasting arms. So, eternal blessings. And let a prayer now be in your heart of each of us. Oh Lord, may I receive in this service, this very night, that blessings, eternal blessings. I can miss it. But that's permitted to pray when you are listening. Lord, let it come in my heart. Let it be reality by the Holy Spirit. Eternal blessings. The eternal God. The eternal refuge, and the eternal everlasting arms. Let us first sing together Psalter 203, the verses 1 till 5. 203, the verses 1 till 5. Dear congregation, how many times did you be in your thoughts in eternity? Last week. Try to remember. Have I been with my thoughts, my wishes, in eternity? Maybe some of you must say, not one time. Well, that's bad. Maybe others say, now and then. A small thought. That's not good. We are all, and we know, on the way to eternity. And our journey can end every moment. Every moment. There is only one sigh and heart block between us and eternity. In the short time that we are here now, half an hour, thousands and thousands of our fellow sinners moved to eternity. Children, young ones, also a lot of old people, of course. But do you realize that? That you can be in eternity tonight? Tonight. For did you ever realize and had a real feeling in your own heart and understanding how short your time is here? And that your destination is eternal. What is it? On what way are we? Eternal damnation? Or eternal glory? It's one of the two. I remember a story of a lady of high birth, very rich, living in a castle. And she had a beautiful, nice life, feasting, and she could buy and do everything what she wanted, no limits. And she had a poor kitchen maid, and she loved that maid. And when she went to a feast, she went to the kitchen and said goodbye. And then she said, that kitchen maid was reading in a small book, oh, what a poor life do you have in the kitchen in such a book. That's nothing. And I, she said, I have such a beautiful life. And after the feast, she came back and the kitchen maid was still there, and she said her goodbye. She was exhausted, such a nice night. But the following morning, she came down. Her eyes were thick of crying. Crying the whole night, she said. Mrs., what is wrong? My dear, I cried the whole night, for when I was passing you, I saw 1 second in your book, and I read one word, eternity. And at the same time, I realized I am on the way to to eternally, and I'm lost. It's impressive. You must really believe it. It's the truth. Everybody here who is not really saved in Christ is on the way to eternal damnation, eternal pain, eternal fire. That's true. That's what we deserve by nature. And everybody here who fled to the Savior in saving faith and received forgiveness truly and peace with God is on the way to eternal glory. And one of the things that which you can know that is that you are a stranger in the wilderness of this world. You are not here at home. You are protected by many, many enemies. Surrounded by many, many enemies. You are in the land of the enemy. And you are traveling through the wilderness. I don't experience that in this way. I have a nice family. I have a nice job. I have a good life. That's not what I feel. But your feeling deceives you. The devil likes that. Be quiet. Enjoy your life. And of course, don't think so much about what's coming. I'm 20, and before I'm 80, that's a long time. No, guys, that's not a long time. I've been 20, now I'm nearly 80. I know it's very, very short. Once I compare it with eternity, you need eternal blessings. All the blessings here on earth, they stop at the moment that you go over. It's all gone. All your pleasures, all what you have here, in 1 second. You need eternal blessings. And what a wonder that I may preach you tonight eternal blessings. And that the Lord, in his love and loving kindness and goodness, wants to give you eternal blessings. Be grateful for that, that the Lord is coming in his word to us tonight, because he wants to give us eternal blessings, and let that be the desire of our soul. Oh Lord, this whole world cannot fill my soul, and this world full of vanity and sin, I must leave, and there are moments that I want to leave this place to be in the better place. We turn to Moses. Moses, the man of God, he made a choice. And that's what we need too. We all need to make a choice. By Adam, we made a wrong choice. And we every day make the wrong choice 1,000 times. As long as we are continuing in a life without God. But in his young days, my young guys, I hope you saw the same already, like Moses. He was the son, you know, we know that. The son of the daughter of Pharaoh. And he was chosen to become a king. The mightiest king on earth. Egypt, in that time, was full of prosperity, full of richness, full of enjoyment. And he could become the mightiest man on earth. But he saw something. And that's what we need to see too, really to see. Not to know only by our head, but that it must turn our lives. Our thoughts, our desires, the direction of our life He saw at the time the beauty of the suffering of Christ. By the Holy Spirit, he saw the value of the sacrifice of the Savior. And he saw the treasures, the spiritual treasures, which come forth out of that sacrifice. Eternal love, forgiveness of all your sins, peace with God, an eternity full of eternal glory. Did you see that too? Are your eyes opened for the beauty of Christ? And therefore he made a choice for the cross. For when you make the choice, you must expect the cross and the hate and the enmity of everybody who hates the Lord. And we know the story. He had to flee. Pharaoh wanted to kill him. His adopted son. Hate, kill, cross. That's what we can expect on the narrow way to heaven. And 40 years, he did his work with the sheep. In one of my congregations, I had a shepherd too. And I spoke often with him. I still have contact with him now and then. He's not a shepherd any now. Thereafter, he had goats. But he said, sometimes people think that sheep are easy animals, but they aren't. They are very, very difficult to be a shepherd. Well, I must believe him. Moses became a shepherd, 40 years old, 40 years a shepherd. The prince became a persecuted shepherd. That was the right choice. And that's what we may ask ourselves. Are we willing, if needed, to leave everything and everybody for the beauty of Christ and the kingdom of heaven? For nothing then can be compared with that beauty, the value of the Savior. And the more we know him, the more we see that. In the Dutch, it's a very nice saying. It's like a poem. Give me Jesus, or I die. Outside Jesus is eternal loss. Give me Jesus, or I die. Give me Jesus. Boys, is that the prayer of your heart? Children, it's very simple, isn't it? Give me Jesus, then I have enough. So that was the life of Moses, and we know the Lord called him, and he guided his people. He was 80 years already, and he stood at the beginning of his life task. But the Lord gave him the strength, wonderful strength. For when we see him here, 120 years old, his eyes are bright, his strength is there. There is no need for him physically to die. But it's nearly his time. He is at the end of the 40 years wilderness, the journey through the wilderness. And oh, how did he suffer a lot? For his sheep were easier than the people he had to guide. People are not so easy, I know. And when you know yourself, you know it better. I'm not so easy. And Moses, he was gently, made gently. He was it not by nature, not in his character. He was a man. But we read of him, He was more gently than any man on the earth. That's what the Lord Jesus turns and changes in us. He makes us gently. So he suffered a lot of his people. And now he was at the end. For all things on earth come to an end very soon. And you know, he was not allowed to enter the promised land. That was a hard thing for him. For he guided the people 40 years. And he liked that so much, to see it, to go there, to bring them there. But was not allowed. Joshua, Jesus, he brought the people in the promised country. But there came a time that he agreed with the Lord, you know. And that's very important in our life too. We have also our wishes and our plans. And sometimes the Lord says, no, no, it's not the way. And that can be hard for us. I remember that in one of our congregations, there was a woman who lived very, very close to the Lord. She had a tender life with her Savior. And she loved her pastor. He was a nice pastor who preached Christ soundly, in a living way, experimental way. So she had a good tie with her pastor, spiritually. But there came a time that she thought and felt there is something between the Lord and our pastor. There's something wrong. She didn't speak about that to anybody. And the pastor was preaching soundly. He didn't say anything wrong. But yet she felt there is something. And she went to the parsonage. And she asked, Pastor, is there anything between you and the Lord? I feel that. And then the pastor began to cry. And he walked to the chimney and took the picture of his little girl, 3 years old, passed away, lost. And then he confessed, I am angry on the Lord. And they prayed together. And she was used for their for her pastor to free him so that he fully could agree in the way which the Lord went. Is that not beautiful? That we so are used for one another. She didn't speak with anybody about it. She didn't speak about the pastor. She didn't say the pastor is not preaching as he ought to be. No, no, nothing, nothing. She went to him and she asked it in a tender, loving way. So that's the way to help each other, you know. So also Moses became one with the Lord. And he is in a very good situation now. He's very close to the promised land. Have no desire anymore to the promised land here. For when heaven is really filling our hearts, and when the heavenly joy, the beginning of eternal joy, is coming in us, then we have only one desire. Maybe you know that moment. By grace, I know that moment. That I wish to be with him. Only with him. Nobody but the Lord. In his glory, in his love. To be there where is no sin. There cannot be any separation between the Lord and our soul forevermore. To be with Christ, says the Apostle Paul, is far the best. Do you agree? Do you say amen? That's sure? That's nice when you can say that. And when you can't say that, pray the Lord. Oh Lord, make me ready for eternity. So that my soul is not so cleaved at the things which pass away. I'm so busy with so many things. But let our walk and our heart be there where Christ is. So Moses was at the end. But now he blesses his people. His heart is full of love for that people. Every tribe receives his own blessing. And when he is finished, then comes the blessing for all of them, and I hope for all of us. The eternal God is thy refuge. Can be translated, also may be thy refuge. For in the Hebrew is only the eternal God, thy refuge. That's only in the Hebrew. And therefore in our translation it's translated by the eternal God may be your refuge. But what's here written is all right either. For that's one of the two. Moses knew already very well how the people were. And it was in that time the same as in the time of the Apostle Paul. It is not all Israel what has the name of Israel. The children of Israel, to which the blessing came, were the children of parents who couldn't enter. They left Egypt, but they couldn't come in the promised land. They starved away in the wilderness. Why? Because their unbelief, the biggest, greatest, main sin, unbelief. As long as unbelief is ruling and reigning in our life and thoughts, we cannot come in. We don't see the value of that promised land that it's coming, eternal glory. And now their children, are they better? Not really. Not really. We see that later on. But yet Moses has the mind of Christ and is tender and loving. And so he has, the Holy Spirit gives it in his heart and life, of course. Also, as ministers and leaders of the people, we have nothing of ourselves. We continually need the waters of life, drinking them, and then it's coming out of us. And here we see how it's coming out of Moses, out of his belly, out of the deepest of his heart, that loving kindness of God towards his people. The eternal God be thy refuge. Do you know what is the difference between saving grace and true faith and everything what it is not? When the Lord began the good work in your heart, from the very beginning, your soul began to cry for God himself. My soul is thirsting for God, the living God. By nature, we are so far away. And as long as we are dead in death, sins and trespasses and vain faith, we don't understand these things. And then we easily think, well, I believe the Bible, I'm a believer. Don't you worry. But when the Lord begins the good work, we feel the missing. I miss God. And there comes a sadness in our heart and a missing in our soul, which only can be filled by God himself. Not his gifts, even not his heaven, but himself. May I ask you in love, how is now your relation with the eternal God at this moment? What place has he in your heart, in your thinking, in your loving? Do you know what the psalmist is meaning in your own heart? My soul cries for the Lord, the living God. And you can only know that when you know that. That thirst after God himself. For we lost him. In paradise, we lost God. And we can only be happy when we come at home in God, the eternal God. He is so, so beautiful, so wonderful. When the beginning of the knowledge of God is there, you begin to realize that. When you compare then God with creatures, and you realize it from his goodness, his might, his holiness, and he is eternal. And then you hear the psalmist singing, from eternity unto eternity art thou God. And in his might he created heaven and earth in 6 days. He speaks and it is there. And in his eternal love he gave his only begotten Son to save and to seek what's lost. What's lost? Lost. People who cannot save themselves. People who cannot come back by themselves. People who don't know how to be reconciled with God. But God knows. He sent his only begotten Son to draw sinners back like the prodigal son. I will turn and go to my father. And since that time, he could only think at his father. He could only think at his home, the home which he left and the home which he cannot miss anymore. He wants to come at home. I will go to my father. And you know the parable. The father was waiting with his arms stretched out, receiving his lost son and kissing him. The eternal God, him must me have, to know him, to belong to him, to be reconciled with him, to be his child really for time and eternity. That is eternal happiness. Oh Lord, thou alone, give me God, only God, the eternal God. He is the eternal blessing. When we belong to him, everything is for the time, a short time. But when we are brought back and reconciled with God, and God is our God, we have the eternal blessing. We have enough for time and eternity. And as long we miss God, we have nothing, nothing. Do you realize that? Did you see that? My soul is thirsting for God, and in the knowledge of God, there is a beginning, but there is no end. There is eternity. We have an eternity when we come at home to glorify and to know the Lord from glory to glory to in all eternity. When our soul and body is filled with the triune God, only God, only God. That's our goal, friends. Only God, the eternal God. Maybe when it's not yet the case, turn to the Lord. Leave all things behind you. One thing is needed. The Lord Jesus teaches. Sell all what you have. You will have a treasure in heaven. Son of God is standing before that man. Sell all what you have. He said, no, no, that's too much. That's too much. Poor man, now he's in hell. Now he's lost. And it didn't change. The eternal God, God himself, to know him, God the Father, as my heavenly Father in Christ Jesus. The word which became very precious to my soul is this word. The Father himself loves thee. The love of God the Father in his eternal, unchangeable love. The eternal Father, my Father, my heavenly Father, who loves me from all eternity unto all eternity. The eternal God. The eternal God, God the Son, who is coming forth out of the Father from all eternity, one with the Father, and who came in our flesh to take away our sins, all what was between us and God, and reconciled us with God. And God the Holy Spirit, who makes God himself known, beloved in our souls, so that nobody and nothing can fill us, but God alone, God, the triune God, the eternal God, may be your refuge, your home, your home. Or, as it is translated in the King James, that's nice too, they made a choice. The eternal God is your home. And that's for all God's people true. He is it. You went over. You are only at home in him, in the things of his kingdom, in his word, in his house, among his people. There you feel at home, where God is glorified, where you God can hear, where you him can find. There you are at home. There you feel safe. There you feel happy. There you will be a child of God. The eternal God be your refuge. But Moses also wishes an eternal refuge, an eternal home. The eternal God be thy refuge is your home. So that's the second part about which we think and speak. Maybe anybody here has the question, how do I come in that home? How do I come there? Yeah, when you are there, you don't need that question. For when we keep now for this moment the word home, it's one of the two. We are outside the home, or we came at home. We are inside. Whole mankind is divided in the two kinds of people. People who are living outside, and most of them, they realize that. They don't realize that. They are not worried about that. Or they think that everything is okay. And God's own people, who came at home in him. And that's, of course, a very, very important question. How do I come, and did I come at home? In God himself. And you know, there are so many religions in the world. And all the religions of this world, besides the true one, has the same door. They say you must work. You must do your best. You must please him. Try it. Maybe you know the Muslims have a lot of things they have to do. They have to go to Mecca. They have a lot of things. And then their God is saying, maybe you will see at the end, it is enough. Maybe you can come in. Maybe not. We'll see. And by nature, we are all inclined to seek the door in our works, in ourselves, in our own righteousness. We are not better than Muslims or Roman Catholics. We are all the same. And that must change. Did you ever see in your own heart and experience that there is no door for you? There is no one. When you try it yourself to find the door, you are blind. Where is the door? Where is the door? I want to go in. There is no door. There is not a door of works. There is not a door of self-righteousness. And when you think it is, you are deceived by the devil. So there comes a point in your life, and then it's going well, that you see, really, at my side, there is no entrance. There is such an enormous difference between a vile sinner, as I am, and the holy God, as God is. Did you ever see something of that impossibility? It's totally impossible to be saved by yourself. And everybody who is on the way of the Spirit feels that, sees that. All the doors are closed. And then the wonder. There comes the Savior. There comes God Himself, manifested in the flesh. And who comes, he speaks to you. I am the door. All what you need to enter in God's holy presence, to share in his eternal love, all what you need is in me, is in Christ. He is the door. And when you see that, when you believe that with your heart, you enter in God Himself, and you are reconciled with God in the application of the blood of Christ to your soul. When you believe, all my doors are closed, Christ only is the door, and then you may enter, and then you see and experience eternal love, eternal life, eternal peace, saved for all eternity. And then you can cry with the psalmist, oh my God, how precious is this one word, my God, to come at home in God the Father. And by the Spirit of adoption, you can cry, Abba, Father, to come home at home in God the Son, God the Son, who became flesh for me, and paid all my debts, and to become at home in God the Holy Spirit, and feeling the sighing of the Spirit, and the witness of the Spirit. For this Spirit speaks with our spirit, this witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We belong to God for all eternity. We have an eternal home, and we are only at home in God and with God. And also beautiful is the translation, the eternal God may be your refuge. Refuge. For we are surrounded by so many dangers, by so many enemies. We are in the land of the enemy. But the Lord is our refuge, our home. We are continually fleeing to Him, in Him. And there we find safety. There we find rest for our souls. There we can stay. There we feel the warmth of His loving kindness and His presence. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Oh, how great is it, this wish, far more beautiful than I can express. The eternal God, thy home, your refuge. Nobody can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We are assured of the love of the triune God forever and ever. There we go. What people are doing, and they do a lot with God's people. They crucified Christ, and the Lord said, they hated me, they shall hate you too. But we are safe, for everlasting safe, in God Himself. Oh, therefore, dear congregation, who you are, seek God, and you have enough. That's the far more needed, that's so far more beautiful. When you, by grace, are saved and hidden at home in God Himself. But let us first sing now Psalter 241, the verses 5 till 9. 241, the verses 5 till 9.
Thank you.
So in the third place, we consider everlasting arms. And underneath are the everlasting arms. That's a beautiful example which Moses used to show us that eternal love, protection, loving kindness of God for all his people. Every one of God's people share in this everlasting love. Who you are, little child, a young guy, when God is your home, the eternal God your refuge, the everlasting arms of God are under you. There came a time in your life that the Lord found you, pale, helpless, and that he took you. That's the example. He took you on, and he brought you to Christ, and he washed you in his blood, and he filled you with his Holy Spirit, and he makes and made a new creature in Christ of you. And now you belong to his flock. Now you belong to that poor and needy people which nobody can be filled, only with God. They who seek the Lord, you belong to it. And what, how happy are you? And now the Lord is carrying you through all the circumstances and difficulties and pains in which you come. For the way which God goes with his people is a way of tribulation, a way of starving. We must starve, die with Christ, and resurrect with Christ. And we must follow the steps of the suffering Savior. But there are always underneath arms of eternal power, of eternal protection, of eternal love. You can never fall out of it, never, for he carries you through this short life and through all you need. He brings you to your home. And then it sometimes happens. There are here young fathers. And what do you do with your little child sometimes? I did it often. That you press your child at your heart and kiss your dear child. And you say, my dear boy, my dear girl. And then that child is so happy. And so it is with a child of God, in the arms of God, sometimes pressed to his divine heart, and then hearing the heartbeat of eternal love. I love thee with an eternal love, and I shall love thee into all eternity. And then there is such a unity between God and us that we feel so at home in God. And we wish that we could keep that special, precious moment that the Lord presses us at his heart, at his table. Sometimes when we are alone with him, sometimes I remember in my own life, by grace, places. And when I pass that places, then I know there the Lord
pressed me to his heart. And filled me with his love. And you can keep that. But also you never can lose that. For the experience of divine love cannot be compared with anything else in our life. It's the foretaste of eternal love. And so the Lord carries us through our life, and we come like Moses to the end. Some of us shall have, human speaking, a long journey, and some of us a short journey. The pastor by which the Lord used for my blessing and conversion, he became only 45 years old, and he has been pastor only for 8 years. And he wrote in the church bulletin the last time when he did, he had cancer. He said, the struggle with death on this age is hard. But yet there came a moment in the last time that the love of God, the Son, the love of God, the Father, the love of God, the Holy Ghost, filled my whole being. And from that time, I didn't wish to become better. The eternal God be your refuge. He is it. He is it all the time, for all eternity. And congregation, what shall it be when we are at the end and lose our last sin, our last breath, and are in the place where God is all in all for all eternity? God's children come at home, often crying at home, and the Lord shall weep away all tears, an eternal, eternal, never, never, never ending, eternal glory shall be your portion. There is such a delight and such wonderful love in the eternal God. And therefore, at the end of this sermon, I beseech thee, seek the Lord. He let find himself. He comes to you this very night to make you jealous, to make you longing, so that a decision comes in your soul by grace. I want to seek the Lord. Besides him I have nothing. O Lord, thou, and thou alone, art my portion for all eternity. That we may meet in heaven, in that place where we never can sin, and where the whole church of all ages and all denominations, all the church, is one. For the church is one. One love, one grace, one desire, one future, one goal. My God, I shall eternally love and praise thee, for thy goodness and thy loving kindness is better than 1,000 words. Amen. O Lord, our words are too poor. It's far more beautiful what thou hast provided for they who love thee. And some of us are close to the last day and their last breath, and then they are at home. And how many came at home? Also from this congregation, some of them, we knew them. They are eternally filled with Thee, O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And that's the best part. The Lord is my portion, forever and ever. We thank Thee for everything Thou gavest us this week, this day, in this service. And we pardon and we pray for the pardon of all our sins, for there are so many shortcomings in us, but all is perfect in Thee, O blessed Savior. For Thou art our righteousness, our holiness, our wisdom. Thou art our everything. Lord, be with the congregations. Give us a safe travel at home and stay with them. Go with us and hear us for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing together Psalter 44, 4, 5. 44, 4, 5.
Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go to your home in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.